you have your Bibles with you,
please open them with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 4.
1 Peter chapter 4.
Let's pray. Father, as we turn to your word now, we ask that you would speak to us by your Spirit. Lord, we come to your word because it is spiritual nourishment. Lord, you said that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so as we study your word today, we pray that you would feed us. Give us what we need. Teach us, Lord. Instruct us. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in 1 Peter chapter 4. We are studying the book of 1 Peter together, and we're in the second message on this particular passage of Scripture. Peter, the famous disciple of Jesus, is trying to help believers who are living in difficult circumstances. And he is telling them, remember, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We started looking at this passage last week. Peter starts by saying the end of all things is at hand. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. And there's a sense in which, as followers of Jesus, we are always living in the end times. We are always living with the expectation of his return. Last week we learned that there are over 150 chapters in the Bible that have to do with the last times, with the last days. Be a long sermon series to go through all 150 chapters. One of the things that we saw as we just thought about some of those chapters was that there were some trends that seem to be happening in our society today, in the world today, that are kind of like clouds on the horizon that cause a person to wonder, is it going to rain? And these trends, which we looked at last week, technology is actually one of the trends. These trends that we looked at last week, and I just want to remind us of them. We're not going to look at them again today. Some of these trends are like clouds on the horizon that make some of the things that are written in about the last times make them seem possible for us to experience today. That maybe the return of Jesus is very, very close. What are those days going to be like? What are the days immediately prior to the return going to be like? Well, one of the things it says in Joel chapter 2 is there's going to be an outpouring of his Spirit. And if you think about it, that was something that happened on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended and empowered people. But the prophecy also included prophecies of things happening in the heavens that didn't happen on the day of Pentecost. And so many scholars believe that the Joel 2 prophecy, which is there, is going to have two fulfillments. In other words, there was the fulfillment on the day of Pentecost, but also just before Jesus returns, it says, in the last days I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And so it is seen by many scholars that the last days are going to be days of a Holy Spirit energized church. That the moving and the activity of the Holy Spirit through the church is going to be incredible. It's going to be glorious. And the gospel will go forth, and people will hear the gospel, and some of them will repent and turn to Jesus. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. At the same time, though, Scripture speaks of the world becoming increasingly wicked, increasingly rebellious against God, increasingly selfish. Jesus said it was going to be like, his coming was going to be like it was in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, Scripture tells us that the inclination of everyone's heart was only evil all the time. That things were going to get worse and worse and worse. So on the one hand, you have the glorious outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the church operating in power. And on the other hand, you have the world at large becoming increasingly evil and increasingly dark. And it says that because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. So, how are we to live? How are we supposed to live? And this is what we started looking at last week. Peter says, pray. Peter says, pray. Be self-controlled and sober-minded so that you can pray. There is nothing more important in the world than your connection with and your relationship with Jesus. There's nothing more important than that. Last night's football game was not more important than your relationship with Jesus. Your television shows are not more important than your relationship with Jesus. Your work is not more important than your relationship with Jesus. Be sober-minded. Be clear-headed. Remember, the most important thing is your relationship with Jesus, and that relationship is nourished through prayer. Through prayer. And Satan will do anything he can to distract you from praying. He doesn't want you praying alone. He doesn't want you praying with other people. And he will make 100 things come up to distract you from it. And Peter says, be clear-minded, be self-controlled for the sake of your prayers. First thing, talked about that last week. You can listen to the sermon online if you want. He goes on, though, in verse 8 and says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. It's okay, pray, but don't just pray, love. Remember, in the last days, the love of most will grow cold. You commit yourselves to loving one another earnestly. Like an athlete going into training, you commit yourself to this thing of loving one another. Of loving one another deeply. Not in abstract ways, but in practical ways. Love one another. Care for one another. It says, love covers a multitude of sins. What does that mean? Love covers a multitude of sins. Does that mean that as Christians, if you're really loving, you just ignore sin? What do you think? No, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. What does it mean? Love covers a multitude of sins. Satan wants to divide. Satan wants to keep us apart. And he'll do anything he can to bring division into the body of Christ. He'll do anything he can. What does this phrase mean? Love covers a multitude of sins. Think about your family for a moment. Hopefully, you love the people in your family. Is anybody here living with a perfect person? I'm not saying... For those of you who didn't hear what she said, I'm glad, my wife said, I'm glad to see he's raising his hand. I'm glad you're back from the States, dear. Think about it, though. In your own family, you don't live with perfect people. Do the people in your family ever do something wrong? Do they? Sure. We're sinful people. We have faults. We sin. If somebody in your family does something wrong, do you spend the rest of the week telling all of your friends the thing that the person in your family did wrong? Or does love say, I've got that covered. I'm protecting you. Oh, the sin needs to be dealt with in the family, but it's not something I'm going to use as a weapon against one another. Do you know what I mean? That's what it means. Love covers a multitude of sin. Love recognizes that we are sinners saved by grace. And yes, we try to help one another grow in holiness. But we don't allow one another's sins to automatically bring division. Does that make sense? So we have grace for one another. We have understanding for one another. Love earnestly. Love with the strength of an Olympic athlete. Love passionately one another. It's important. Remember the context in the last days. The love of most will grow cold. But as followers of Jesus, we love till the very end. Even when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he loved. He loved those who were persecuting him. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. He loved. He loved. And he sets the example. Love earnestly. Then he gets really practical. Because love can be kind of this nebulous thing. He gives some examples. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Show hospitality to one another. Show hospitality. Now, when I was growing up and in my early years in the church, we talked about people who had the gift of hospitality. And generally speaking, what we meant by that was, they're a really good cook. Man, you got to go over to their house because, you need to be carried out. Your stomach is so full. I mean, that's what we meant by somebody with the gift of hospitality. And I think that puts a standard on hospitality that isn't biblical. Hospitality is loving other people. It's love of strangers. It's welcoming them. Yes, it includes having people over for a meal. Sure. But you know what? Pizza Hut delivers. And Pizza Hut will do just fine. Okay, it doesn't require you to be a gourmet to show hospitality to other people, to make people feel welcome, to make people feel loved, to make people feel like they have a friend. Because you know what? They do. Because we are followers of Jesus, and Jesus calls us to love and to love earnestly. So let me encourage you to show hospitality to one another and to other people that you meet. I've been reading the book of Romans lately, and there's an interesting passage that I've been puzzling over, and I kind of had one of those aha moments. It's in the very first chapter of the book of Romans. The context is Paul has never been to Rome, and he wants to go there, and he's kind of sent this letter to the church in Rome as a means of introduction, so that they kind of know who he is and what he's all about. And I used to think that Paul was pretty arrogant, actually, because of this passage in Romans chapter 1, verse 9. Romans chapter 1, verse 9. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. And it's almost like he says, ooh, that doesn't sound quite right. And he goes on in verse 12, that is, that you and I might be mutually encouraged by one another's faith. And I used to think, well, you know, Paul's kind of arrogant in heart. But I think what was going on there really was this. Paul's heart is he wants to be a blessing to other people. He wants, it's not an arrogant thing, he wants to be a blessing to other people. He did not know the Roman Christians. They were strangers to him. But he wants to be a blessing to them. He wants to be a blessing to them. And then he stops and he reflects on life And he says, no, wait a minute. No, what I really want is for us to be mutually encouraged. Because he realizes that as much as he wants to bless other people, the reality is he's receiving just as much in return. He's receiving just as much in return. And I believe that as a church, we need to have that attitude. We need to have the attitude that as members of this church, we want to be a blessing, even to people we don't know. But we recognize that we receive so much in return. We receive so much in return. And that's part of what the gift of hospitality understands. The person who is showing hospitality is saying, I am willing to love you. I am willing to extend grace and mercy and make you feel welcome and get to know you with hope that I might impart something of Jesus to you. But I recognize in the process, Jesus is going to be imparting something to me as well. My life is going to be richer as a result of this. So in a day and age when things are getting darker, as the end is approaching, Peter says, show hospitality. Practice hospitality. Welcome one another. Even those you do not know. And it's interesting, it says show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Without grumbling. I think sometimes the reason why we grumble, and Janet may disagree with me on this, is sometimes our standards of what it means to practice hospitality are way too high. Are way too high. You know? It does not need to be vacuumed underneath the bed to have somebody over for a meal. You can do it, accept us as we are. You know? It's what causes the grumbling is trying to meet our standards of what it's all about. So show hospitality to one another and then serve one another. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as God's stewards of God's as good stewards of God's varied grace. Use the gifts and talents that you have, the energy that you have, to serve one another. I should have had Roman come up now and give you the opportunity to serve one another. But to serve one another. And to take that service seriously. If you're teaching, teach like you're teaching the very words of God. Life group leaders, Sunday school teachers, certainly me as a preacher. We're not to be preaching our own opinions about things. We are supposed to be preaching and teaching what the Scripture says, to do our very best to help people understand what God has given us in His Word. I have no authority beyond what the Word of God says. Period. And we need to take that seriously at every level. Sunday school, youth group, life groups. When we're speaking, we are speaking the words of God. Take it seriously. And whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies. That we are serving with the energy that the Lord Himself gives us to serve. Because there are moments when our own human strength, our own human condition does not want to serve. We say, Jesus, help me. Oh, Lord. Roman gave that really great presentation, and then he said, is anybody available to come and set up at 9:15 in the morning? Oh, Lord, I don't want to get out of bed. Help me. And he will. He will. He does. So we serve with the strength that God provides. We take loving one another earnestly. Seriously. We take it passionately. And in that, God is glorified. The end of all things is near. I'm convinced of it. We need to be in prayer. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be praying with one another. And nothing should distract us from our prayer life. Nothing. We need to love earnestly. We need to show hospitality. We need to serve one another. Which of those things do you need to grow in this week? Which of those things do you need to put into practice this week? Serving, loving, showing hospitality, prayer. Don't let it overwhelm you, but say, Lord, what is it this week that you want me to do? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, help us to love. Help us to love. Help us to love strangers. Help us to show hospitality. Oh, Lord, help us to serve. Lord, I pray that you would, as a church, would give us, that you would give us as a church an expectancy, an urgency, because your return is near. The time is coming. Ground that into our hearts, Lord. Teach us. Teach us. In Jesus' name, amen.